Now, I'm glad you're here today because this is Life Group launch today. And at the end of the service, you'll go out, you'll see in the foyer the list of all the different life groups. And if you're visiting with us, our church does life group. We don't do Sunday school, but we spend life together. And it's simply doing life. And Joy's going to come here in a little bit and share his heart with a little bit in that direction and what you can do to be a part of that. But I just want to make you a little bit aware of our church has been growing, and I've been so excited over the last few years for the personal growth on the internal workings of our church. You know, we had started a building fund years ago, but it seemed it went to a certain point and it kind of leveled out. And I'm thinking, Lord, how come it hadn't taken off? And he was telling me, you're not ready for it. You're not ready for it. You've got to grow internally. You've got to grow in the core and be a church, a vision, not about a church on a visionary and built on a visionary, but a church with a vision. And man, God has caused such growth in our church over just the last 3 or 4 years. And I'm excited for that. He's positioning us to make a tremendous impact on our communities and Central Texas. And one of the areas we have grow teams. Grow teams engulf all of the youth ministry, the praise and worship, the sound booth, the hospitality team, the ushers, anything involved in ministry to our worship time has a grow team. And our grow teams, which Pastor Christian has been over and has just done a fabulous job with our grow teams, has just so increased. I think a lot of us don't understand all that goes into play when we simply have a church service on a Sunday morning, 2 services, and on a Wednesday night. And I've asked him for some statistics he handed to me. And in 2016 to 2017, that year period there, we had 153 volunteers who are making the service go on a Sunday morning and Wednesday. That's 153 people in and behind the scenes that are working. Amen. That are volunteering their time and serving you just to come together and have church and worship the Lord. And that's wonderful. Well, then the next year, from 2017 to 2018, from a period of June and July, it increased to 266 volunteers, people giving their time to make this happen. And then just this last year, it increased to 274. That's an 80% increase in just 2 years. And it's not just showing up and shaking your hand. It's getting here early and it's praying for the service. It's praise team that comes up and sacrifices on their nights, and they come together and practice and work out all the bugs and so many hours, and they show up here before 8 o'clock and stay till 12:30 to 1 o'clock. I mean, that's how many people are dedicated to being a part of what God is doing. And that's so exciting. So we're growing. That excites me to impact lives. And so, you know, I want to talk to you this morning about our life group launch and about relationships. And I want to use one of my heroes, and I believe one of the heroes of faith, and it was toward the Jews, and that's Nehemiah. To me, Nehemiah, he's like a hero to me, man. When you read in the book of Nehemiah about his life, and you see a man there that he was greatly humble. I mean, he was humble to the Lord, humble to the people that he worked under, to the king that he served under, the non-Christian, non-Jew king that he served under, and he loved God. But he had a heart of courage and strength. And, you know, even when the enemy at the time, if you're not familiar with the story, go read all of Nehemiah. But God used him, and we're going to read some of this, to impact Jerusalem and impact the Jewish nation. And at one time, as a leader, the enemy were trying to scare him and say, the enemy has guys in the works, and they're going to sneak in here, and they're going to kill you. You need to go run and hide in the temple. And here he is saying, what kind of man do you think I am that I would run and hide while my brothers and sisters are on the wall, rebuilding the wall, with one hand building, with the other hand a sword to fight off the enemies, and you think I'm going to go hide? Man, I love that kind of guy. Man, I love the grit and the courage and the strength. He was a man's man. But here's Nehemiah, and he was inquiring of some of his brethren about the captivity, the people who had endured the Babylonian captivity, those that had gone under captivity and survived, and those who had escaped captivity. He's asking about all of his brothers and sisters out there and around. You know, how are they? So when we pick it up in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, Nehemiah prays here for his people. He said, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachaliah. These guys are not from Texas, you know what I'm saying? It came to pass in the month of Chislev in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Here's a man who had a heart for God's people, had a heart for Jerusalem, you know, their city. And he's asking, hey, what's the conditions of God's people? And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Man, and this was heavy on Nehemiah's heart. This is like breaking his heart. And he was crying out to the God. And he said, God, make a way. God, make a way. Well, you know, it was God's desire to restore his people. It was God's desire to establish a wall of protection and safety around Jerusalem. And he used the man Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah verse 11, it says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. So he approached God on behalf of himself and the men around him who were crying out for the nation of the Jews, the Israel, and for Jerusalem. He said, he's saying this of the guys that he's approaching God with. He said, I'm praying for those who desire to fear thy name and prosper. God, we want to be a people, men and women, who fear you, who respect you, who want to live right before you. And Lord, we want to be blessed and prosper in you, Father, and your hand been on us. I mean, there's so much more, so much more. He wanted to prosper so that people would see God's hand on God's people and walking in the favor of God. There's so many. And he's seeing the people of God that they needed a place of refuge, a place of safety. And he's crying out to God, God, make a way. God, make a way. And so when you look here with Nehemiah, the story, the account of his life, you see now Nehemiah not only led the people to restore the wall for refuge, but he removed the reproach from the people of God. When you look at reproach, that's like the disgrace. For them, it was a feeling of being disgraced that they had no wall around their city, that they were a dispersed people, that they had no congealing heart toward God and as a people and nation serving God, to them is like, that's disgraceful. We should be better than this. We should be greater than this. We serve the God above all gods from everlasting to everlasting. This is like disgraceful for us to not to be the dominant people in the nation and throughout the world. So I can see that. And so he said, and when Nehemiah approached the people, we find in verse 17, chapter 2, when he's approaching the people, and he had shared with them all that God was doing. God gave me favor with the king and said I could come and restore the walls of Jerusalem and rebuild the gates. He gave me permission to go into the forest and gather the wood, see God's hand moving. And he spoke to him. He said in verse 17, come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. He's saying, together, you and I, come on, let's do this thing. Let's follow God's will and God's purpose, and let's build. And when the people had gotten revelation, when the people had seen what God was doing and seen the purposes of God, the plan of God, when they could see together, collectively, listen, that can happen to us today. Man, when we tie into what God's wanting to do in Brownwood area in Central Texas, we can be like these guys. Oh, man, we can see great things in God. And when they had seen this, they said in verse 18, and they said, let us rise up and build. And so they strengthened their hands for this good work. When they caught hold of the vision, they said, let's do this thing. Come on, pastor, let's all get together. Let's do it for God. Let's serve God following his will, his desire, his plan. Because we can see God's hand in the work, see what God's doing. Now let's run with God. Boy, these guys got a hold of it, man. I mean, the whole community, and I'm going to be careful not to preach here very long. I could just light right here, man, and just tell you about Jerusalem and all that God did with all these people who did their part. You had people in that city who were not carpenters. They were not bricklayers. They could have said, hey, I can't build a wall. I'm a silversmith. I deal in fine jewelry. I deal in fine perfumes. But they didn't. They stood up and said, listen, we'll do our part. We live right here, we'll build this right here. We live right here, we'll build this right here. We live right here, we'll build this right here. They all did their part. Now here in a moment, I'm going to parallel that. I believe we want a greater vision. Lord, what are you saying to us in our community? What are you saying to us in our city? We're not like this, Lord, but we can do our part right here. There needs to be a place of refuge for the children of God in Central Texas. Right here. And these guys said, let us build. I mean, there was a time that, you know, where I told you a while ago about him having such courage when the enemy was trying to scare him and trying to, you know, discourage him. What kind of man do you think I am? I'm on a mission. God gave me the mandate, and I'm going to follow God, and God's going to be my protector. And I won't be distracted from it. I won't lose sight of it. I won't lose my focus. Just because the enemy is at the gates, just because the enemy is threatening, I'm not going to lose focus with God. The enemy is a liar and a thief. And I look at the church world today. I look at our churches. And I have, you know, this in my heart when I think about our community right here. I mean, one time when we first got here, we had two radio stations that were in part of the church that are now on the campus of Howard Payne University. But we had someone that went out and did a little bit of research and looked at how many churches do we have in Brownwood. And there was like 98 churches in Brownwood. I thought, oh, my word. How can that be? How can you have 98 churches in a community of this size? Of course, I all have my own opinion about that. Some of them were saying they lost sight of the vision. So I don't like the way you're doing it, so I'm mad at you. I'm going to go start my own thing. And then that one, it's just like, man, how the enemy would ravage. Even this church was attacked where people, there was like two or three church splits that didn't, they just couldn't keep the sight and the vision of God and split off. I'm thankful we're here, aren't you? But I think, God, that's almost like we need to get together in unity for one purpose of sharing the gospel. And I've seen enemies come in and ravage certain groups. What are these enemies? Greed, competition, jealousy, unforgiveness, pride, isolation, lethargy. Oh, my word. These enemies come in and they try to ravage the church. We're not the church. We're part of it. We're only one part of the overall church in this whole area. But the enemy comes in and tries to keep us off where we're not the ones say, yeah, let's rise up and let's build. Let's rise up and let's do this thing. Because Nehemiah said, listen, you're going to have to fight for what you want. You're going to have to fight for your homes, fight for your husbands, your wives, and your families. We need to have that same attitude. See, like in 2 weeks, we're going to have a crusade here at the Brownwood, Gordonwood Stadium. I just prayed on VLA Academy Stadium back here. Gordonwood Stadium. And listen, it's so exciting. Margarita Radish is a member of our church. You saw her on the keyboard this morning. She wouldn't like me to be pointing her out, but just because she wouldn't want me to point out that she's right back here. But Margarita has a heart of evangelism. So when we started doing life groups, it's been this last year, she wanted to do a community outreach, community connect, evangelism life group. So she started evangelizing our community, just going, knocking on doors. And then there was some folks from our church that joined her, and people started getting saved. But here, this is exciting. There were church groups that came to her and said, hey, can we join your group? Because we don't really know how to do this very well. Can you help us? Can we join your group? And yeah, this is for all of us because we're not the church. We're part of it. And man, so we got several churches working together, going out and reaching the community. Woo-hoo, I love that. So, come on, we can build. And so Margarita and Chris are sitting back here, and they came to me one day and said, hey, we want to do an outreach together to reach the community, and they've got an okay already. They've done their homework in Gordonwood. I thought, whoa, Gordonwood Stadium. We tried to have something there once before, and we couldn't get in, you know. And so we're going to do this community outreach. But you know what? There's several churches that are involved. It's not just us. I mean, there's several church members that are on the praise team. Then they're bringing in, of course, a well-known Christian group. But listen, it's about grouping together not having pride or arrogancy or competition or competitive spirit, and say, let's reach the community for Jesus, for the gospel's sake. That's what it's all about. Are y'all with me? Praise God. So that the church in our community overcomes this thing where it's like a feeling of, Lord, we don't want to be subjected to some kind of reproach. Lord, I mean, for us not coming together as groups in churches, they don't have to serve here. You say, Pastor Sam, what are you trying to say? Are we supposed to all come under one roof? No. We reach different groups, but we still need to be linked together, loving one another, and focused on the end game. Amen? So what is that going to take? I believe that it's prayer and unity and actually quality. Man, we want to be authentic. We want to be the real thing. Be the church. Don't act like church. Be the church. Praise God. Be one in the purpose of God. So when we look at the success of Nehemiah, where it started, it was born out of a relationship with God. Nehemiah had a relationship with God. It was born out of that, but it was manifested through a relationship with people. And we're talking about life group today. So the success that he had came when he connected with people and they got together, and that relationship succeeded in what happened to Jerusalem. There are principles always. There's so many principles that come into play with anyone in every area of their life to cause success. And for us, our success in the kingdom of God is knit together how we function in relationship to one another. Are you getting this? I've run across people over the years. Kathy and I've pastored over 22 years, and come across people that just feel like they're an island to themselves and don't want to connect with them. I can do it. Me and God, we got it all right. We got it together. Yeah, but you know what? You're not impacting the kingdom, because God's all about the family of God. Together, we all have our part. And any success that you and I have in the kingdom of God is because we're knit together with the family of God. We all play a part. We're never going to be totally successful in the kingdom work of God without functioning together in a relationship with the body of Christ. In Nehemiah 8:1, and you read the chapter for the sake of time, because I'm going to give it to Joey here in just a moment. But in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, it talks about the fruit of a relationship with God. See, when you have that relationship, a true relationship with God, you're going to bear certain types of fruit. And one of those things, a few of those that you're going to see there in that chapter, is they had a respect for the Word of God. A respect for the Word of God. God, your Word is final. What you say is what goes. They had a fruit of hearts of worship to God, understanding of the Word of God, that God's Word is final. They also had one of the fruits of a relationship with God is repentant hearts. God, I realize without you, I'm nothing, and I need you, Lord God, and I want to make sure that I'm not running this show, that you are, and I want to repent of what I think and the way I'm going and follow you, God. That's a byproduct of having a relationship with God, is repentant hearts, hearts of rejoicing. And finally, one of the fruit of loving God, a relationship with God, is loving one another. If you're truly spending time with God and connect with Him, you can't help but love God's people. I love that song this morning that we sang. You know, only heaven knows how far you would go to say you love us. Well, He gave His life for us. That's how much He loves the people sitting around you. You know, the person that you may be butting heads with, God loves him just like He loves you. Amen? Praise God. So this is a fruit of a relationship with God. But there's also fruit that's born out of a relationship with one another. And I want to take you to just a couple more passages of Scripture. In Luke, the 10th chapter, and I love this story. It was like a point of revelation for the followers of Jesus. You know, and I looked at guys, I've known guys in the military that have gone through survival training. I looked at this, it was like that survival training. guys that I've known and family members, and they'll take them off in a plane and just drop them back in the middle of the jungle with nothing but a knife and, you know, a pair of fingernail clippers maybe, you know, and so you got to make it, you know. But here, he took the 70 following him and he gave them some instruction to go out and to minister together. And let's read here in chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And I saw a pattern here. When he's talking about laborers into the harvest, he's talking about laborers knit together following the Lord and his instruction. Not just a lone ranger out there, hey, I'm going to do my thing. He sent them two by two. I mean, so that they could understand even the power of agreement. If two or more agree as touching anything on this earth that they ask, they shall have whatsoever they ask. They'll have it. Oh, when they followed the Lord and went out subject to his instruction, great revelation came. And so we see them return in chapter 17. It says the 70 returned with joy. They were fired up. And they came to Jesus saying to the Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Lord, we got the devils on the run. Lord, we really enjoyed this. I mean, you sent us out without all these provisions. And Lord, you just gave us the authority of your name. And we got the devils on the run, man. I'm telling you, the authority that you gave us. Lord Jesus, let's just turn us loose on the world. Come on. And that's exciting. I mean, they had revelation of what God could do and what God's plans and purposes were. Now, hopefully you'll know the rest of the story. And Jesus, in verse 18, he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Man, it's, you know, and I've preached over the years, it's exciting to walk in the authority of God. But the priority is that your name is written in heaven. Man, if you don't know Jesus today, you need to know Jesus. That's the primary, most important thing that you'll ever experience. The greatest miracle that you'll ever experience is meeting Jesus. And your name written in the Lamb's book of heaven. But here he said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And as I read that in the understanding of us working together in the kingdom, I thought, hey, you know what? You guys are going to all be in heaven together. And you guys that are butting heads with other people, you got to realize y'all going to be in heaven together for eternity. Might as well work it out right now for the kingdom's sake and see the fruit of what God can do in a relationship that is working together maturely, overcoming our challenges with one another, not allowing pride and arrogance and unforgiveness to come in and offense and say, let's do it for the kingdom's sake. And then you'll come out saying, "Woo, we got the devils on a run, man, working together." And it said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. He said, I thank you, God, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. And he whom the Son will reveal him. Now look at verse 23. And He turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Folks, there is just so much that is to be seen and understood and heard and reveal to us when we work together in unity that we're not going to see any other way. We're just not going to see it any other way. That when we come together in unity and we press into God and say, let's do this thing together, let's follow the purposes of plans of God, we're going to see great things that we never even imagined that we can see, just like in this situation right here. There's just so many things that we miss out on because we don't walk in unity and we let the enemy filter in. Amen? Amen. So, you know, God's desire is for you and I to grow to full maturity by building ourselves up through unity. So we have to work and function together in a relationship together. Why? For His glory and His purpose, His plan. And so with life groups, it's about coming together and doing life together. And something just as simple as a connection together. You can't imagine somehow God can use one word in due season and radically change someone's life. He can use one connection, one thing, and use you to connect and change a person's life. And it's sometimes just being available. Sometimes just being there. I mean, God put it together this week, just as a testimony of God, that I connected with someone this week and talked to him on the phone. And this gentleman said to me, he said, man, and I know it was a God thing because he needed the encouragement. He said, listen, I just don't have anything to live for. I don't have anything to live for anymore. And it's just an opportunity to encourage him. And you and I need relationships like that so that there might be that person who needs what you have. So amen. And I want to share this last little word, the last little thing, and then I'll turn it over to Pastor Joy. But, you know, years ago, I working with children, there was this, I read this statement one time, and it just clicked, it just stuck in me, that when, you know, we're to be here to encourage kids and train up children, and it was like a good man dies when a boy goes wrong. A good man dies when a young boy goes wrong. Did y'all see what that says? Because it's so important that we train up our children to fulfill what God's called them to do. And don't let the devil steal them away from us. Don't let them go awry, because a good man dies when a young boy goes wrong. Well, here it is that a fruit harvest dies when a relationship suffers. When if Joy and I were to let something get in and we just didn't work together. And Joy, I'm so aggravated that you can grow a better beard than me. And I'm taking offense to that. I'm so aggravated you still got hair on your head. I'm put out by that. And I let that get between us. That could damage a fruit harvest between he and I working together. Amen? Amen. So, Joy, I'm going to invite you to come on up and share your heart with us, what God's put on your heart. All right, welcome, Joy.
I'll try not to be too long with you guys. I'm going to start out with a statement. I want you to think about this for just a second. The statement is, don't allow things to matter more than what matters most. Don't allow things to matter more than what matters most. And my question for you guys is, what matters most in your life? What are the things that's in your life that you put value in, you put time and effort in? And my question is, are those things of eternal value? Are they of eternal value? And you can think about, I know we do sports and shopping and hunting, fish, things like that. There's nothing wrong with those things. But how much value do we put in those things? Do we put those things above things that matter most? Like for simply coming to church. Simply a Wednesday night. I can promise you when you go to heaven, God's not going to be impressed with your 20-foot jump shot. Just saying, right? So here's the deal with that. This is kind of where I'm going with this. If you made an investment on the stock market and you weren't going to get a return, you wouldn't invest in that, would you? I mean, you'd be like, that's dumb. I'm not giving my money to that, right? So what is the number one thing that we can invest in on this earth that has eternal value? People. Thank you. People. So here's the deal. Life groups. What's a life group? Investing in people. That's what we're doing. Investing in people. And what I like about it is some of these things that don't really have that much eternal value, I can use them as a tool. For instance, I like to go hunting and fishing. But guess what? I can take you hunting and fishing with me, and I can pour into you and invest into you while we're doing that. Huh? That's what a life group is. Some of you guys like to drink coffee. Guess what? You can go down to the Whataburger with a group of men, and y'all can drink coffee and shoot the bull and talk about everything, right? That's a life group. Pray for each other right there in Whataburger. And guess what? Someone said, what are they doing there? Well, y'all are praying. What are y'all doing? You share with them, right? That's a life group. Life group is investing in people. It is investing. And here's the deal. Stan was talking about, you know, your name being in the Lamb's Book of Life written in heaven. Guess what? You take people with you. You can't take your stuff with you, but you can take people with you, right? And here's the deal. It's kind of like when we're going through all this life group, and we're pushing life group, and we're excited about life group. We want everybody in a life group. And I'm just going to be honest. There's a lot of excuses why they can't. Why you can't. And I'm not hating on them. I'm not being ugly. I'm not being rude. I'm not giving you a spiritual spanking or anything. But here's the deal about this. Could it be that you're not investing in other people's lives? You're making things matter most that really don't matter. And you're finding something else to do that doesn't have eternal value when you've got an opportunity to invest in someone that will last for eternity. Me and my wife were talking and we said, hey, what would happen if we couldn't meet up here? What would happen if you were not allowed by the law to meet at this church? Could you still have church? Some people are like, yeah, I could. Why? Because they're in a life group. What does that mean? They're connected to other believers. Where you could say, hey, guys, I know the government won't let us meet, or maybe a tornado came and destroyed the church, and we don't have a church. So guess what? We're still having church. We're going to have church at my house till the church is rebuilt. Right? That's one reason why we have life group. Because the church isn't this building. The church is the people, which is what we're eternally investing into. Right? You look at the scripture says for the older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and love their kids. Well, guess what you can do in life groups? The older women can teach the younger women how to love their husbands and love their kids. The men can teach their sons and their daughters how to love their wives and how to love their husbands and how to love their children. Because here's the deal. He cannot do it all. I can't do it all. We've got 600, 700, 800 people here. If all them people all of a sudden are knocking on our doors, we can't meet those needs. It's just impossible to do that. So life groups, you say, why life groups? Because life groups are you guys pastoring each other. You pastor each other. You meet each other's needs, because it would be silly for us to think that we had all the gifts and we had all the calling is all on us. No, you've got gifts. You've got talents. You've got callings. You've got things that I don't have. And when you get connected with people, you start investing in people. This is one thing that I think is incredible that happens. They start seeing God in you and seeing the gifts and callings in you that you may not know is there. And you know what they do? They say, hey, I see this in you. And they start pulling those things out of you. And you start pulling things out of each other. And then guess where you find yourself? You find yourself serving in the church in a place you never thought you would or could. Amen? And what do we say? If you're serving, you're growing. Right? And if you're growing, the church is growing. Do y'all see that? So one of the things that we do with life groups, guys, is we empower each other. It's about empowerment. Empowerment. Right? Where God lives in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when we meet in life groups, guys, that's literally what we're doing. We're seeing the gifts and the callings inside of each other, and we're pulling them out. And we're helping you walk in your destiny, walk in your purpose. And right? And is that what we're doing? So you say, what's this big deal about life groups? That's the big deal about life groups. It's the big deal. And heaven forbid that something would happen and we couldn't have church here. But just think about it. Think about it. Would you be left all alone if we couldn't meet up here again? Or would you have people that you're connected with that you know that you could just call on in an instant and they'd be there for you? You know what? If you call up here and you say, hey, Stan, I need you right now, there's a chance that he may not can be there for you right then. Why? Because there's 700, 800 people that he may be meeting someone else's need. But if you could call your life group leader, if you could call someone in your life group and say, hey, man, I'm having trouble here. You know, this is going on or that's going on. And they say, hey, I can be there for you. I'll be there. And you know what's really cool about the life group system, the way we've done this, is if you have a life group leader, that life group leader, listen, he has the red phone to Pastor Stan. Y'all get that? He's a direct line. Sometimes Stan and our other pastors, man, they're helping other people and they're working. And we don't want that to be, but there's so many people that you can't get to everybody. Right? But if you went to your life group leader or your life group hub and said, this is going on, they could meet that need within that group. And they'll be the one to make sure that it gets back to who it needs to get to, right? Right? It's an awesome way of doing things, because here's the deal. If we've got four pastors doing all the work, we're going to run to early grave. We're going to be running ragged. And that's not what God called us to do. He's called us to equip you guys to do the work of the ministry. And that's what Life Group, it's mostly what it's about. It's about a whole other different things. It's about connection and about loving on each other. And it's about growing this church. So here's the deal. If you haven't joined a Life Group, listen, we're not trying to puff up our program. We're not trying to make our stats look good, even though we have stats, and some of them are really impressive. The stats about, you know, the hub leaders and how many volunteers it takes, those are impressive. That's not really the reason why we're doing that, though, just so we can puff up our stats. It's about people. People. And you know what? The numbers, those numbers are not just numbers, they're people. Right? I have a few stats about life groups. Our life groups have grown. The first year we did life groups, it was, let me get back to my stats here. Well, we've done life groups. We called it care groups. We've had a few different names, but as far back as 2017, I had about 185, 190 people in life groups that went through that year, which is pretty good, not too bad. Last year we were around the 220 mark, and now we're reaching the 230 mark. You know, we're starting to grow. But how many people go to this church? More than that. And see, we said we want 100% of people in life groups so that everyone's connected, so that everyone's getting poured into, so that everyone's getting invested into. But the reality of it is we really want like 110%. What does that mean? Well, that means people that don't go here. We want you guys investing in like your neighbor or someone you run into that went to high school with, and they're like, hey, I want to get reconnected. Hey, we got this life group going on. Why don't you come? We're going to have food, and we're going to hang out, and right? So life groups, it's not Sunday school. Please don't think it's Sunday school, because some people say, well, I can't teach a Sunday school class. This is not Sunday school, right? This is not a Bible study, even though you might want to do a Bible study as a life group. It's doing life together. Doing life together. Investing in each other, pouring into each other, right? Strengthening one another, lifting each other up. So yes, we're going to encourage you to get into a life group. One of the first questions, man, if you've got a need or something in here, one of the first questions we'll ask as a staff is, what life group are they attending, right? And that's not to a knock on them or anything, but that's so that we can say, okay, if this person's having an issue, you know, who's their life group leader? Who's their hub leader? So we can get them connected, so we can get people to help them or whatever, right? That's a good thing, man, because you got a support system like you wouldn't even believe when you're in a life group. Let's look at this. Matthew chapter 6. Just want to read this scripture to you real quick before I close out. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, don't keep hoarding up for yourself earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourself that cannot be stolen and will never rust or lose their value. He's talking about people. People never lose their value. Ever, 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 ever. And life groups is a way that we can invest and we can empower each other for eternity. Amen? All right, we got a quick video I want to show you guys. So you guys queued up and ready?
Hello, my name is Luisa Grajales, and I just want to tell you a little bit about my big win about going to a life group. I wasn't a member here at the church at the time, and I got invited to a life group women's called the Freedom Life Group. And during that time, I was going through a lot of hardship. I had a lot of health issues. And when I went and got invited to this life group, I felt very welcomed, very loving. They prayed on me. They loved on me. Not only did I receive physical healing, but I also got emotional healing. And I was able to connect with them and build lifelong relationships. And so that was a big win for me. And I got so motivated with that group that I even want to start a life group myself now.
Hey, I'm Kurt. One of my big wins in life group is I was able to talk about my past and unload some baggage. My brothers didn't try to condemn me or judge me, nor did they try to fix me. And in that process, it's allowed me to evaluate my life and realize the man that I want to be. And for the first time in my life, I've been able to be loved and to love others.
Amen. You see, my response to that is, why would you not want to be part of something like that? Right? Why would you not? Like, what's keeping you from that? Right? We want to be able to love on you people, and we want to be able to connect with you. And man, this is one of the ways that we do it here at church. So we're excited about our summer launch. And our summer launch is 6 weeks long. We have 6 weeks of life groups. It starts today, and out in the foyer, we have all of our life groups set up. They're at a table, a sign-up sheet, and they're all different kinds of things. I mean, Pastor Stan's got one that they make knives, guys. I mean, that is cool. You get together with men, and you know, grunt and all that stuff that us men do, and say, we're going to build a knife and wield a hammer. I hope they need a hammer like Thor's hammer, and so you can be, like, really cool and all that. So just all kinds of different ones that you can join in. I know there's one that they make soap. I'm like, I didn't even know you could make soap. That's amazing. That's incredible that you can do something like that. So I promise you, there's a group out there for you. I'm leading one that's a marriage group. And it's one for if you're not married, you can come. If you're like engaged and want to be married or thinking about being married, you can come and all that. And what's cool about our group is we have all different ages of married couples. So we have some married couples that have been married like 40, 50 years. Some have been married like 2 or 3 years. And it's really cool because we get to go and we get to ask those people that have been married 40 years, like, how did you do it? And how are you doing it? Right? And guess what? They get to pour into us and teach us and train us. And that's what it's about. So all different kinds of groups out there, please go and sign up. And listen, if you have any questions or anything about life groups, you can ask one of us. You can ask the life group leaders, if you got, you know, just questions or concerns or whatever, maybe you don't understand exactly how it works, so that's okay. Come find out. Don't let anything hold you back. And I can promise you, if you come to me with an excuse why you can't come, okay, we're going to find a solution. I'll tell you that. We're going to find a solution for a reason why you can come, because we love you and we value you and we want you connected in here so that we can pour into you and invest in you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Pastor Stan.
All right, praise God. Well, let's stand together.